Blog Talk Radio.
Please hang up and try again.
Test.
Hey, are you there?
Hang on. Rob?
Yeah.
You can hear me now?
Yeah. I didn't know if you had me unmuted or what.
Yeah, I got you, man. I'm not getting any feedback.
What's that?
I wasn't getting any feedback on myself. I couldn't hear myself. I had pushed one of the wrong buttons. Well, anyways, good evening. It's Thursday, March 17th, St. Paddy's Day. Aaron Gobra and all that good stuff. Hang on a second. We'll go for a tradition here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. And now we'll just add a little ambiance. Here it comes. Wait for it. There we go. Now, I don't have a very good Irish accent, so I'm not going to try.
Hi, me ballad.
Sure, it's the Irish coming out in me.
I make more than that running for the bus.
I'm much better in Scotland, though. But so it is St. Paddy's Day. And let me get out a quick tweet here and let everyone know that give us a quick shout out. Let's see. We'll tell them to call the number 714-816-4727 and shout out for St. Paddy's Day. We're wearing our green. There we go. All right, so well, enough of that. So here we are. It's Greg's in the chat room. Ms. Backcast is in there. And it is St. Paddy's Day. Are you wearing the green, man?
Not at all. They don't make skull shirts in green, dude.
No green skull shirts? Okay.
Nope.
Note to self. Pinch Rob next time we see him. Ms. Backcast has got her little green smiley face there going in the chat room, so...
Nice.
If you're not wearing your green, pinch yourself. And so, been a long week, man. How about you?
Absolutely.
Yep. The weather is just too nice outside to be stuck in doing some silly job.
I know it.
I mean, who needs money anyways when you got fishing to do?
That's right, Chip. I agree 100%.
We gotta find us a place, put some double wides on it, place some racks for the kayaks, and just start our own little kayak fishing community.
Hey, I'm all for it. I keep telling you, I'll go do that with you guys.
Yeah?
As long as it's in the Keys or Mosquito Lagoon or something like that.
You know, right? I mean, if you're going to be, you know, out of work, homeless, or whatever, why would you be in, like, D.C. or you know, upstate New York or something. I mean, come on. It's cold.
That's why so many of the homeless people come to Florida, you know, for the wintertime.
Right. I mean, you just get down there and I could easily live under a bridge in the Keys somewhere. You know, I mean, I could build my own fishing rod and I could fish. If I can fish, I can eat, right? I can make fire. So.
So how you doing, Chip? What are you up to?
I'm good, man. I've been working on, you know, getting, upgrading, you know, kayak fishing radio. In fact, I just got the paperwork in today from the Legal Beagles, and kayak fishing radio is officially the a limited liability corporation.
Awesome.
I got a little stamp and all that good stuff. So,
you got a federal ID number?
I don't pay myself anything to do this, so I don't really need that right now. But I do have a federal ID number. But.
You know, it always kills me in my line of work, you know, where I work during the day, which is for local city, state, or county government. I always have to ask folks, you know, you'll have a business person come in and they're wearing the suit and they got a PDA and a laptop and a BlackBerry and a iPhone or whatever, and they're in some assistant and all of this other stuff, and they can never come up with their federal ID number.
Right.
I always think that that's great.
You know that? I mean, come on. So I think Bill has joined us. Good evening, Bill.
What's up?
What's up? Here, wait a minute. We got to get you one, man. I got one. And happy St. Patrick's
Day. Oh, yeah,
Day
there you go.
Brother. And it looks like the Redfish Chuck is showing up here. Let me get you unmuted there. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, you? Guys.
All right, we'll get one for Chuck, too. Oh, there we go. And then just a little bit more ambiance.
Let's say hi.
All right.
Is that on the switchboard, by the way?
I got it on there now, bro.
Awesome.
Got us a little background.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I got a special guest here tonight. Let me hang on just a second.
Okay.
Come on, say it out loud. Say hey.
Hi.
Hey.
That's my grandson, Kylan's hanging out with me tonight.
What's his name?
Kylan.
Kylan. Hey,
yep.
Kylan.
I don't think we've lost his attention. SpongeBob's on.
Oh, well, SpongeBob is cool. Right?
That's serious business.
I know, man. I'm digging. I feel like Patrick after a long day at work. So, how are you, Chuck?
Good, man. Good. Really good.
Really good?
Yep. Killing cobias.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that, man. We're going to get to that because that is my favorite fish in the world, I think. I mean, not as flashy as a tarpon, but pound for pound, man, that's a fish that'll wear you out, I think. And it is probably, in my own personal opinion, I believe cobia is one of the best tasting fish that there is.
They are tasty.
They are tasty. And I mean, I've had them sushi, sashimi, grilled, broiled. I don't think I could bring myself to frying one, but all those other ways are very tasty. So
I only got about 60 pounds of meat at my house. So
is that
sure,
all, man?
Wow. I'm sure I'll have
that's awesome.
I'll have another 60 or 80 pounds come next week. So hopefully I'll have some to divvy out if you guys would like to take some back with you.
Dude, I'm going to bring the grill, man. We could grill it right there.
If you can get on those things, man, those things are, man, those are like really easy to catch. As far, well, I mean, you can get them to eat. Those are so. I mean, I could even catch those things, man. Once you find them. I was watching what's his face? Who's the dude that does all the fishing shows? And he does a. Oh man. Anyway, Rick Murphy. He was doing a show with Kobe one time, and he had one hooked up right next to the boat, and it came off, and he dropped the jig back down, and it turned around and ate it. And he had it on again, you know?
Yeah, they get crazy sometimes. But how many did you catch, Chuck?
We caught 5, threw one back, kept 4. It was kind of slow. For what it's been over here, it's kind of interesting the way that we get them. We catch up most of our cobias on rays on the backs of big manta rays.
Right.
And lately there's been so much pressure on these fish and on the rays that you might get a cast or two at the ray and the ray will go down. And once the ray goes down, you're pretty much out of luck because you don't really know where to throw and you really don't want to just kind of explore the waters because you really don't want to hook a ray just because, you know, innocent bystander, but
right.
The Florida limit on cobia is 33 inches to the fork of the tail. You're allowed to keep one fish per person with a 6-fish boat limit within 3 miles of the bank. Now, outside of that, you're allowed to keep 2 fish per person with an unlimited boat bag limit for the day. So, say you got 10 guys in the boat and you're fishing outside 3 miles, you can technically keep 20 cobias.
Okay, but when it comes to landing the fish, when you bring the fish ashore, how do you prove that you are outside of the 3 mile mark?
Well, that's the beauty of Florida's regulations is there's so many gray areas. It's so hard to prove and disprove. However, FWC and the Coast Guard have figured out a pretty cool way of following the guys that are always bragging on all the boards about how many fish they're catching.
Yeah.
And literally taking pictures and video of them catching fish and going up to them at the end of the day at the dock and checking their catch totals and making sure they're within their legal limits. Because I know of at least a half a dozen guys that have been checked that the FWC officers said they watched them from the beach, following them up and down the beach from four-wheelers. So,
oh, yeah.
Cause we're literally catching these fish in like 15 to 30 feet of water.
Wow.
If the weather here was a little bit more conducive, the kayaks would be launched off the beach and we'd be going out killing them out of the kayaks. But the last couple of days, the winds really picked up in the afternoon, and you really need that sunshine to be able to spot those rays. And you know, I'm not going to get caught up out there in that. I'd just rather go out in a boat and kill them.
Yeah, but yeah, The yak would be cool. I think that would be a lot of fun. You have to make sure you.
Oh yeah, it's gonna happen.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna happen. Sure, it's just a matter of wait until this month is over with. Obviously, it's one of the months that it tends to like to blow a lot in the afternoon. So, April and May are usually good months to jump off our beach because it tends to be really flat almost all day long.
Do you have the guys that come out there and I almost ran off the road the other morning. I was listening to the show, the late show. I didn't get to it until about 2 days ago, but talking about the squitters there. But I think you were actually belly laughing, man.
I was. It was pretty funny.
But do you have the guys that are out there? Level. Yeah.
You can't believe my level of stupidity is what you're laughing at.
But you have the guys that are out there in the John boats with the 12-foot ladder, you know, the aluminum ladder strapped down with the tire rod. Oh yeah, you get to see those.
I know over the West Coast you see it, but over here it's too rough for that, man. People would be dying all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, you see them going out the pass in the John boat, you know, with the 12-foot aluminum ladder strapped down with the come-alongs in the front of the boat, you know, and you're like, oh, my gosh, man, this is not going to be good. So, but very cool, very cool. So,
yeah.
and some cobia in the boat, man. That's always good to see the guy in the brown suit. That is a fun fish to catch too.
I'll tell you what, a real fun story. My buddy, we call him Brentwood. He was out. He's a commercial fisherman. He was out the other day, found himself a real nice manta ray, and it was loaded up with fish. And somehow or another, jig got through the 30 and 40 pounders. And this guy has probably caught more cobia than most people would even dream about. And he said that one of them out from underneath the ray that was so big, it literally scared him. And he ate his jig. He fought the fish for 2.5 hours, got it both sides, got a good look at it, and broke off. It was easily a 100-pound fish.
Wow. I've seen a couple of those in the Pensacola area, and that's a big freaking cobia, man.
Yeah, they get stupid looking when they're that big.
Yeah. I mean, that is a big cobia. Oh, very cool. They're not. You guys seen them on the west side there yet, Bill? Have you been out fishing?
I haven't seen them on the flats. What happens here during the springtime is they come out of the power plants and they'll hit the flats really hard. And I would think that maybe I haven't been out this week, but probably this week. And maybe next week, you know, you start to see more and more of them. And then, you know, they cruise the flats, and then when we get a little bit more bait, they will go out to the buoy markers in the bay marking the ship channel, and they'll hang around there. And, you know, they get hit pretty hard. So these cobia here are pretty sly. You know, mm-hmm. They've seen a lot of stuff in the wintertime at the power plants. And then, you know, they come out. And I've found the best time to catch them is this time of year, the springtime, when they move out onto the flats. You know, they're cruising. There's bait just now starting to show up. And I've had pretty good luck during this time of the year.
Right.
But once they kind of, you know, summer hits and they move out toward the ship channel, they start getting harder and harder to catch because people just run and gun is what it's called. They just go from one buoy marker to the next, you know, running and gunning, looking for them. So,
yeah, those knuckleheads up there in the panhandle, it just gets so irritating because that's all they're doing, man. They're just cruising up, back and forth, you know, up in their towers, looking for them, like you say, running and gunning. And,
yeah.
You know, if you just, I found if you just get a nice when they're running around like that, if you just get out over a wreck, one of the artificial reefs, and just wait, they'll show up. I mean, and you know, last time we were down there in Tampa, in fact, the clone, we were fishing over in the port area over there around that point, and.
Mm-hmm.
There was a pod of tarpon moving through, and we saw a boil, and I thought I saw, you know, just the rings of it, and I cast out there and quickly handed the rod to the clone, and he started fighting, but we never saw a jump, but when he got it to the boat, you know, it was like a 30-inch cobia, and I don't know, when were we down there, Rob? July last year, a little 30-inch cobia there. Right off of that point by the port. So,
you know what I found? They're real curious fish, and I've actually caught them around some of the smaller dredges that they use in the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be dredging out like a boat channel for our park or something. You know, something small, not a real big barge or dredge. And they will hang around that thing, and if you can get to them, you know, you can usually catch them. But
what do you use?
Like I said, you'll catch them. Now you'll catch them on the beach in the spring, and I'm trying to think, like late summer, there'll be there'll be some caught off the beach along. Especially if you've got a stretch of beach that's really heavily crab trapped, They seem to hang around those, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, that is another name for them, is crab eaters, right?
Yeah, they eat just about anything.
Yeah, they do. Oh. What do you catch them on when you're fishing for them there, Bill?
The ones that I've caught, I caught two real big ones 7 years ago when I was just waiting, and I was just pitching greenbacks and letting greenbacks drift out in a current. And then I caught one over by Weedon Island a while back. It might have hit a topwater. I know my buddy Ken caught a real nice one over there one time on a topwater. And the other one that I've caught out off the beach, I was kingfishing, and it hit a pinfish.
Oh. How about you, Chuck? What are you fishing? What were you guys catching them on the other day?
Bucktail jigs.
Just a bucktail?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Very, very simple. We've actually designed our own bucktails for our shop just for cobia fishing.
A special redfish Chuck bucktail jig, cobia jig, right?
Yeah.
I've tried, I've thrown everything at them. Eels are, I've never taken eels out in a kayak with me, but I don't think I could do that because those are just some nasty things to have in the boat with you anyways. Much less, I'm sure that if I had a bucket of eels in my kayak that they would be all over the place.
They use those eel lures here at the power plant in the winter, and they work really well, but I have never caught an eel here. I've heard of people said they have caught them in the bay, but I have never caught one or never seen one. And it's just so odd that, you know, the cobia will go after that.
Right, if it's not like a natural forage for them.
I don't think so. I've never seen them. I've never seen one here.
Right.
Right on that thing and eat it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that is that a cobia over here always loaded up with crabs. But if you were to pitch a blue crab to one, they'll turn it down 99 times out of 100. I couldn't tell you why. They love to eat crabs, but you can't catch them on a crab for whatever reason over here. Everyone throws bucktail jigs this time of year. See, it's funny because we don't. This is where I get jealous of what Bill's got over there. I wish to God I had cobias on the flats and up in our area, but unfortunately all of our cobias stay out in the ocean, probably due to the locks up there at the port. Because I know a few guys have caught them down in around Sebastian area on the flats out there, small ones. But the beginning of the season, which is where we are right now, we're kind of in the early parts of the run, if you will. These fish are all migrating up to the north, and they're following these big manta rays up to the north. And they're stupid. I like Bill said they were curious. To me, curious is dumb because, I mean, anything that comes swimming to the boat is pretty much going to die. So right now they'll take bucktail jigs of all colors, shapes, sizes, topwater plugs, flies. They'll eat just about anything. But you give those fish like another month and a half, and if you're not throwing a live bait at them, you're probably not going to catch them.
Right.
I guess they just see it too much and get pounded with it too much. You know, they just, after a while, they just turn off to it. And it doesn't matter how skilled you are with a bucktail jig or, you know, how awesome you are at throwing a fly or whatever. It just doesn't seem to work. You really have to go to live bait. And for us, our live bait of choice for cobias over here is either a big, big pinfish or a sailor's choice or a big croaker.
You know what else I've caught them on is dropping a bait down in the pass to the bottom and catching those little puppy catfish and little channel cats and then cutting off their spikes and tossing them out there. I've caught cobia using those little catfish.
Yeah, they love catfish.
Yeah.
But all the ones that I cleaned the other day had crabs in their bellies. A couple of them had what looked like remnants of an octopus or two, and So, I mean, they are just scavengers, and they really are stupid fish. I mean, they're not that intelligent. To me, they're like on the next step down from dolphins, you know? I bet you, honest to God, I've probably killed more cobia free-gapping them than I have on rod and reel.
Just reaching down in the water with the gaff and hooking them, huh?
Yep, because when you're bottom fishing, you're on anchor, they'll come swimming right up to the boat.
Yeah.
Kind of like hang out there, and they're almost like a nuisance because you're not really trying to target them. You really want to get the groupers and snappers or whatever, and you can't hardly put a bait down without it getting gobbled up by a cobia, and most of the time they just gobble it up and spit it out so they kill your pinfish or whatever. So, you know, you entice them closer and closer and closer to the boat with a couple pieces of squid, and then you just sink the steel and put them in a box.
Flip them in a box real quick, right?
Real quick.
Yeah.
It was funny because on our way out, we were actually – I fished with a buddy of mine. His name is Don Babb. He's a real good guy. And I fished aboard his 29 Pro Line, and he had a buddy of his from South Africa that was fishing with us. And he'd never caught a cobia, never even seen a cobia, so he didn't know anything about him really. And I told him, I said, the only thing you need to know about cobia fishing, and this goes the same for no matter what coast you're on, no matter what part of the world you're in, they seem to get more angry when you put them in the boat.
Yes.
You know, it's like they have a second, like, rush of adrenaline, and it doesn't matter how long you fight them, how big they are, how small they are, the second they come out of the water and hit the deck of the boat, if they're not going in a box, then usually havoc is caused. And my big fish for the day, I think you might have saw that picture, it wasn't very big, it was maybe 43 pounds. He got loose off the gaff in the back of the boat before we can get him in a box and started going ballistic. And the guy just started laughing. He's like, I've never seen anything do that to coolers and rods and gaffs. And, you know, I've never seen grown men climb to a tower faster than we did, you know. So they're definitely a menace, a force to be reckoned with. But you know what else is tasty that cruises along whenever the cobias show up? It's triple tail. And we've got some monster triple tail over by me.
Yeah. I like catching triple tail. That's like a really torqued off bass, and they're fun to catch.
Yeah, I love triple tail. And in fact, if you look at the IGFA record book that I know you've got handy, look up the triple tail, look at line class records. I think 90 some odd percent of those were caught out of Port Canaveral where I'm at.
Yeah, that's right.
We get them regularly in the 20s, and every now and again you get them up to around 30, 31 pounds. So we get just absolute monsters over here, and they're here now. So it's fun.
Cool. I think probably the biggest one I've ever caught was like a 5 or 6 pounder. So, but that was still a fun fish to catch.
And they're tasty as well.
Yeah. Cool. So, Bill, I asked, I don't think we got the answer, but have you fished this week lately or what? Have you been on the road?
I didn't fish this week. I did fish over the weekend. I pre-fished for Tampa Bay Saturday for a tournament, and it was completely dead. We didn't catch anything. And then Sunday, I went out, and I took my dog out with me, and she caught a couple reds and a catfish, and I caught, you know, a handful of little reds. You know, we stayed out for a couple hours. But my buddy Grant was about a half a mile down from me, and he was just nailing the heads.
Yeah. Were there any size to them?
Yeah, the one he was catching were all slot. He had one to 31 inches. All the ones we caught were little. But, you know, we were catching them, and that's what she wanted to do, so we were having fun.
Cool. I'm not being able to, can't spell tonight.
It's warming up, you know. This week's just been great, and it looks like it's going to be nice through the weekend. I got a tournament Saturday, so hoping I can find some fish and put something on the board.
Cool. Yeah, I'm I got my leave set up, so I'll look into. I'm just excited that you're going to get a chance to come over and take our picture, because you're going to make us all look like freaking great super rock star fishermen. The way
that's
you
all
pictures.
I'm going to do. I'm going to take pictures. I'm just might have to take the fishing rods out of my hand, because you got to flip a coin. You either got to fish or take pictures, and it's hard to do both. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a good microphone, and I'm just talking about in the chat room there, talking about going to ICAST this year, and I'm trying to find a relatively water resistant microphone to take with me when I go out in the act, because I want to start getting audio of the catch, you know, of people.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's ever quiet when they catch fish, you know. And I mean, if you're a quiet fisherman, man, you're not going to enjoy being around us, because I don't think there was a quiet moment when we were out there. In fact, it was absolutely insane how noisy we were last time there at Mosquito Lagoon, and those fish still hung out there in a big old giant school, and we just kept catching them. And I mean, we were yelling back and forth at each other, talking smack and stuff. It was way too much fun. But that's the kind of stuff I want to get some. I want to get my little microphone set up so that I can, you know, get people and the excitement and everything. You know, that's really the memories that I have, just because, you know, as I get older, I have a hard time, you know, I don't always have the camera set up to take pictures and all that kind of stuff, but I can always remember what people were saying and you know, listening to everybody and the sounds that were going on while we were catching fish, you know. And so much of it is,
yeah, you know, I tried shooting video, and just I don't have the camera for what I want to do with video, and then it takes so much time to edit, and you know,
right.
I would really like to do it, but I really, you know, pictures to me are more challenging, and just that's just what I want to do, you know.
Right. I like the audio. I mean, I like listening to the radio when I'm driving. You know, I listen to XM and listen to NPR and the talk shows and you know, news and listen to what's going on. I like listening to it. I've always been,
mm-hmm.
you know, one to listen to the radio and listen to people talking and stuff. So, but
I wish you could have got a soundbite of Rob screaming like a little girl for us to get that stingray off the farm.
Get this.
Chuck, get
yeah.
the stingray.
Get it off.
Help me. Get it off. Help me.
Well, it was tail hooked, man. It was foul hooked. Every time I tried to grab him, he kept running or swimming away from me.
Yeah, Mr. Minimalist, you need to carry a pair of pliers with you in the pub.
I did. Chuck used my pliers, man.
Just lip it like a bass next time, Rob. You'd be all right.
Yeah, I know. Man, that was weird.
It's all right. I didn't take your man card.
I know.
Take your man card for it.
Oh, let's see. Where are we at here? Listening, we got some audio. Adam's in the house with us. Isaac from Portland is with us in the chat room. Miss Badcast. Jeff Madre just showed up not too long ago. I think Greg took off dinner time there. We've got Aaron also in the house. So welcome to everyone. So long time no see. If you want to call in, the number 714-816-4727. And we're just chatting about fishing, and it's St. Paddy's Day. Time for another round, right? So let's see here. Go ahead. There it is. Oh yeah. Nice, right? And we'll get a little.
I'd like to get a fishing report from Aaron, because he just fished the lagoon.
Yeah, Aaron, why don't you call in? So we listen to a little. Get a little background music there for St. Paddy's Day. Aaron, call in, man. It's you get the number in there for him. give us a fishing report. So, hold on. Got another caller coming in. Right. He's had a few too many already, I think. So, that was...
The show's out of control, man. The whole, like, the late night show, this show,
it, crazy. You know, it's entertainment, man. It's entertainment. It makes you cool. It makes you smile. If you're not fishing, it makes what?
It did make me smile.
I've been waiting for D to get on so that I can do this and... Let's see, well, what do you think, D? He asked you a question. So, how about a little fish and taters? Some more background music there for us. A little background there. Aaron still hasn't come in. And Miss Backcast is like wondering about the walkie-talkie there. Oh. But yeah, I haven't decided. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Miss Backcast seems to be quite the photographer as well, huh?
She's giving it a good try there. She's giving it a go. So, speaking of that, I was...
She's good, man. I'm telling you. She has one of those fancy schmancy supermodel cameras like Bill has there. And she can take some pictures, man. She's really good at editing, too, man.
Bill, do you have...
I can't get her to take her camera out on the water. You know.
Yeah. So
it's like when you guys were down the first time, and Mark and Adam came down and fished with me and D, and Mark busts out his Nikon D90, I think is what he had. Pretty sure it's what he had because I was jealous over it because I've been wanting that camera ever since it came out. He comes pulling it out of his box, sitting in the middle of Mosquito Lagoon. I'm like, you're out of your mind. $1,000 camera, drop it in the water, you're toast.
We don't drop it, right? Right, Bill?
Yeah, you're very, 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 very careful.
I've got a Canon D20, and I'll take it out in the boat with me. I keep it in the box until I'm ready to take a shot, and then I'll pull it out and get the shot and get it back in the box before I drop it. But, so...
And I do that with my point-and-shoot.
My point-and-shoot is just one of those Olympus, it's like the Tough 2000 or whatever it is. It's all waterproof and all. When I bring it back home, I stick it in a bucket of water and let it sit there for a while and then pull it back out, make sure there's no crustiness on it and all that kind of stuff. But Bill, do you have a special mount? Like on your stakeout pole or something like that? Because when you take, like, your self-portraits there, how do you do that?
Well, yeah, but no, I don't – my Malibus have such a smaller scupper hole that I don't use my stakeout pole as much as I used to, but I made my own, and on the top of it, it's got a quarter by 1 inch by 20, which is the thread count. Bolt, stainless steel bolt,
mm-hmm.
And then I'll put like a little faucet washer, rubber washer on there that'll screw down, and that will fit any camera that has a mount for a tripod mount on it. It's a standard bolt, it's a standard thread, and it fits all cameras. So I'll take my little point and shoot, and I'll screw that on there and then just set the timer and take a picture like that. But for my big camera, I don't use the timer. I tried using a remote, but that lens is so long. I didn't quite work out the distance that I needed to get away from it to get a good picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then I dropped the remote in the water, and I never found it. So if I'm by myself and I want to take a hero shot, I just use my little Pentax, you know, and just do a grip and grin. It takes good picture, but you know, when I'm shooting somebody else, then I pull the big camera out.
And what kind of camera are you shooting with?
Nikon D50.
Okay.
And I shoot a 7300 millimeter VR lens most of the time is what I use.
Cool.
I'm definitely a fan of Bill's photography.
Yeah, huh?
So, thank you.
Very. I mean, you do some nice work there, man.
Well,
so Rob's. We're talking about St. Patty's Day evening beverage. We're talking. I'm working on a little Sweetwater 420 here myself. Rob's doing some Newcastle. Adam's going with the Milwaukee's best tall boys. Oh, man.
Jameson Irish whiskey.
Some Jamesons. Oh, right. Yep. Somebody's working on something there. A little hammering. Cool. All right. So we've got Rob Choi just showed up. Shout out to Rob. I know this guy's been catching some fish lately. Maybe. And Jeff had a Killian's Red. Killian's is a good brew. Cool. Very cool. All right. Get another pour going here for the group. A little St. Patty's Day. Let's break out the little jig music here. Get the pour going. Happy St. Patty's Day to everyone. If you're not wearing green, pinch yourself.
And actually, the color of the original St. Patrick's Day celebrations was not green. It was blue.
It was blue?
Yep. Just FYI.
Okay.
Saw that on Discovery Channel last night.
Did you?
Where'd they get green from? Like, did all the pictures faded or something?
Shamrocks.
Ah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There we go.
Just like us, Americans to try and mess everything up.
It's marketing,
marketing. Change up their the culture. Yeah, no, it was funny because it was a program. There was a lady who was talking about Irish heritage and this, that, and the other, and she said the actual original colors were blue for the celebration, not green. So I thought that was pretty interesting because I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. Huh. But, you know, I had a question to ask you there, Chuck. Guides, man. I'm getting ready to start tying some guides onto this stick that I'm working on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking silicone guides, right? SICs.
Yep.
And what do you think of the Fuji K guides, the K series guides? It's those no tangle ones.
Oh, they're brand new. They just put those on the new Shimano Therese rods.
Right.
I'm actually looking at that set right now. I've got a white Therese rod here. They're pretty neat. As far as tangle free goes, if Fuji says they are, I believe them. They're nice. They're super lightweight. In fact, I'll bring that rod with me when you guys come down so you guys can play with it because it's kind of a cool stick. But I like it. I mean, I don't know what set of guides would run you. We haven't bought any of those yet. So if they're not much more than a normal set of SICs, I'd probably go with them.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. We've got, I worked up the price from Mudhole the other day. They were about 60, 70 bucks for a set.
They're not cheap. I know that, but But they are very cool, and they're pretty fancy looking. I mean, they'll really dress up the rod nice.
Yeah, and I'm not going with the titaniums either. The titaniums were like $80.
Right.
So I mean, but I thought I'd give it a try. I don't think I'm going to have them in time to get them on a rod before we come down in April. But I thought I'd give them a try because I guess the focus was with the braid lines and, you know, getting tangled up and stuff, wind knots and all. And that's what they ran them for, was to alleviate some of that problem.
Yeah, and it was funny because if I'm not mistaken, Shimano actually went to Fuji and asked for them to design a guide that mm-hmm. would be a little bit less tangle, more tangle free, I guess I'd say, than the traditional SSEs. Because that was their whole intention behind building the Therez line of rods, is for guys to fish them with braid.
Right.
Most rods give you a monofilament rating, not a braid rating,
mm-hmm.
of what they're capable of handling. The Therez rods only give you a braid line rating, not a mono rating. So like the 7.2 that I have, I'm looking at right now, it's the TZSW72M PW, which is a, I don't know what PW stands for, probably pro white, but whatever. It's a medium action, medium power, fast action. It's rated for 15 to 30 pound braid.
Hmm.
You know, super, super light rods. I mean, the rods that they've done, I don't know, man. You guys know I'm kind of partial to Shimano stuff. I just think that their quality is just above and beyond pretty much anybody else in the industry anymore. That rod is really impressive, but the price point is kind of high.
Right.
$199 retail. But as you saw, the set of guides runs you $60. So, I mean,
right.
Is it really that bad? Not really when you consider what's going into it as far as components. And plus, that rod's still TC4 material, like the jig and stuff, so it's a really strong rod.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, I don't know if you're watching the chat room, but Adam is in there. He asked, speaking of rods, how's his rod coming along? Did you tell him that it's a two-piece rod?
Yeah, I did. We had that conversation. You know what? Adam's giving me such a hard time about this thing. I'm going to send him a bill along with it, too. I was going to do it for free because he's my buddy, but he's going to be getting a bill. So the rod's coming along. The rod's coming along very, very slowly. I got a lot of things that are a little bit more priority at the moment going on, so. But as soon as I can get to it, I'll get to it. And it doesn't matter. You can't catch fish anyway, so.
Ooh.
Oh,
man.
I mean, to catch bass, do you really even need a rod?
Oh, nice.
Man. Are you saying that Adam should just use a cast net?
Adam should just use a cane pole.
A cane pole. Oh, my God.
And he was making fun of me about the stingray. Oh.
Yeah. See, that's what happens.
we all like Adam.
Do not anger the Chuck.
Do not anger the Chuck.
That's right.
He'll break your rod again, man. He already broke it once.
Yeah.
He got mad, and he wasn't even mad at you, and he broke it. So, all right. Cool. So we've got, I got nobody. Benny posts a tavern lock salmon from Isaac there. That's pretty funny. All right. So we're coming up already on an hour of just chatting around, talking about cobia, taking pictures on the water. Holy cow. Jeff's asking, have we seen the video of the tuna on a cane pole? No, I haven't seen that. That's probably a pretty interesting video. Catching a tuna on a cane pole.
The way they commercially harvest them over in like Italy and stuff.
Yeah, that's like a long gaff, though. They just kind of hook them up. There he goes.
No,
he's got.
Well, kind of. It really is a cane pole.
Got a short line on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a piece of string on it. But have you seen the The cool thing, I think, is the mechanical ones. That thing's kind of crazy. They've got one that's attached to the side of the boat that's like pretty much like a quick draw deal. As soon as the fish eats it, it just like flings the fish in the boat and you don't have to touch it.
Right.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, I was... Adam also asked there just a minute ago about the landing crew. And he logged in the other night, and I saw him, caught him on, I think it was on Facebook. And he's got a new job. He's doing some marketing stuff. And the group that he's working for was doing something along with the NFL thing. So that was just, that was eating up a lot of his time. So. Unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be able to make it for Fishapalooza. So, but we are for Fishapalooza. For those of you listening to the podcast or are not aware of it, we are going to make another trip down to Mosquito Lagoon on the first weekend in April. So, April 2nd, I think, is our day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pull up the calendar there. What's
up? Will that shuttle be gone by then?
I don't know what. I don't even know what the launch date is. To be honest with you, Bill, I haven't looked.
And it got pushed back because they had a work. They had a work or die out there. So.
Yeah, the guy from the top fell off on the cap.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
If it's still on the launch pad, Bill, then that'd be a great opportunity for you to get some really good shots of it, because you can, with your camera, you can see it in full detail sitting on the launch on the launch tower from the Playland Beach area.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great if I could get some pictures of it taken off while we were fishing. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when's it supposed to go? The second?
I don't know. I'll have to look. I just, I know it was still there. I just don't know what time it's supposed to go.
I'm just looking it up right now. Let's see. Where's the shuttle at here? Let's see where we're at. Next mission. It's scheduled for April 19th, Bill, so it should still be on there.
It
should still be out on the pad. And, and I thought about that when you pointed it out there, Chuck, and I thought about it, but I never did pull the camera out and try to get it in the background for a shot. And I looked through everybody's pictures that we took that day, and not a single one had it in the background.
Well, I'll tell you, the best way to do it, it cost you a couple bucks, but... The best way to do it is to go down to the Playland Beach access itself and pay the little security guard, whatever. I think it's like, I don't know what it is anymore. I'm not even going to lie to you. It might be as expensive as 20 bucks, but it'd be well worth it just to see it, since it is going to be one of the last missions to go up. And then just drive out to any one of the first couple of parking areas there and walk up on the boardwalk, and you can see it clear as day from the boardwalk. I mean, it's just... It's literally less than like probably 2 or 3 miles from the Playland Beach, so it's massive. It's pretty cool because whenever it goes up here, like Bill, you might as well just drive over here and sit in my front yard because you can take pictures of it. I mean, you can get it in really good detail from my house. I've got a little handheld video camera. It's not nothing special, old Samsung, but it's got a pretty good lens on it, or zoom I should say on it. And from my house, I can zoom in and see in detail, the shuttle, the fuel, the main fuel lodge, all that stuff. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Yeah, if you open up the blinds to my son's window in his bedroom, it goes up almost directly east from his window. So
yeah,
I probably ought to cover them because there won't be too many left.
Nope. Uh-huh. As they go up now, they're retiring them when they come back down. And I think there's, only four left or whatever.
Yeah. And it's funny, man. It's not even funny. It's actually really, really sad. If the government only knew how much money that a shuttle launch brings to our local economy. I mean, we're hurting over here. I mean, where I live in Titusville's a ghost town. I mean, I've got three malls in my city, and not one of them has more than maybe four stores in it. So it's really kind of sad. But dude, the day before a launch, or actually the day of a launch, I bet you there's a million people in Brevard County just here just to see the launch, at least.
Oh, yeah.
Because it would take me on a typical launch day probably an extra hour and a half to get from Port Canaveral to my house. And in a normal day, it takes me maybe 25 minutes.
Right.
So,
yeah,
and that's before the launch. That's just people, you know, walking across the street and getting in the way of you driving down the road. So it's pretty crazy. It really is. But actually, you know what? I think your closest place that you can be for a launch would be where we launched last time, as far as being in the Mosquito Lagoon.
They don't run you out of there for a launch?
No, you can be at Beacon 42. You can't be any further south than that.
Mm-hmm.
You, like the Holliver Canal area, that's all closed off. From there south is all completely closed off. In fact, if you want to go out there, you have to go in through north entrance of State Road 3 off of US 1. You can't go the other way through Titusville.
Mm-hmm.
So allegedly that's the safe zone. So I don't know if really a mile is going to save your life if the thing goes up and God forbid should explode or something, but that's what they say. So,
well, one of the last flights I got to do when I was in the Marine Corps, I was an instructor at Pensacola, and we were working with NASA and trained some of the mission specialists, and we got invited to go over for a launch, and we landed there at Kennedy. And so we didn't have to fight the traffic, but my gosh, man, when they took us on a little shuttle bus over to the little family viewing area where the friends and families get to go, where the big clock is and everything that you see when they show it on the launch on the news. And I think that spot is like 2.5-3 miles from the pad, and you could feel it. When that thing took off, it was a night launch, so it was really spectacular. But just the pressure wave off of that thing, I mean, it was quite impressive. And the sound, it was like the world's largest Harley-Davidson taking off, man. That thing, it was just ripping through the sky. And it was amazing, too, because as a kid, I remember I watched just about every one of the Saturn V's, all the Apollo missions, and that Saturn V would sit on the pad and just slowly rise up because that thing was so huge. But when that shuttle goes, man, it's like an Estes rocket, man. That thing just takes off and it's gone.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, and it's pretty cool. Everything in my house shakes when the thing goes up. So like,
I bet it does
rattle and pictures on the wall rattle, and the sliding glass doors vibrate, and it's kind of crazy. Even sitting in like my lazy boy or whatever, sometimes if the wind's right, it seems that even that'll kind of shake a little bit, shimmer a little bit. It's kind of cool.
Oh,
yeah. But you know what? I'll tell you what. Flying into there, right at the end of that of the runway, is some of the best red fishing in the entire world.
Is one of the best what?
Some of the best red fishing in the entire world.
Oh, of the big runway there?
Yeah. There's areas back in there that are connected to culvert pipes that go into the Indian River and back up in the Mosquito Lagoon.
Right.
And they don't even let employees fish it, but only once or twice a year for a family / kids fishing tournament. And the employees of NASA or whatever get to bring their kids out and they fish off the bank or whatever. And the redfish are so stupid back in there because they've never been really messed with. Most of the fish have never even seen a lure. Like, you can catch them on topwater plugs. I'm talking 30 and 40 inch fish on topwater plugs in the middle of the day when you never would throw a topwater plug. And there's kids down there throwing dead shrimp in the water right next to a culvert pipe and watching 15 redfish rush to it and try and eat it. I mean, it's incredible. It really is.
Just catching redfish from the bank sounds pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's why the no-motor zone is so good. And the Mosquito Lagoon is so good, is because it's all It's all connected through Calder pipes, and all those fish breed back up in there and kind of come out. So,
very cool.
Cool stuff.
What are we watching here?
What is that?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
It's a good thing you weren't on the nasty channel, man. Of course, you got your grandkid there, so you wouldn't be watching.
I had the link up. You want to see some shuttle footage? This link is pretty awesome. It's like 45 minutes long.
Right.
And it's some best photography you'll ever see of a shuttle launch.
Cool.
I'll tell you, my buddy Paul Cooper, I think is his name, he takes some amazing photos of wildlife in our area and of the shuttle program. And we have a couple of big air shows over here and stuff. And I can't remember the name of his website, but I know he calls himself Coco Coop on some of the forums. He's also a kayaker, actually, and I've been trying to get him to come on the radio, a radio show, and get a hold of the guys who are a yak angler. But the guy is, like, really, really blessed with a good eye for photography, and he has taken some absolutely unbelievable pictures. Huh? Are you familiar with him at all?
Yeah. No.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, since you were a pilot, Chip, he's got a couple shots of I guess it's the Thunderbirds.
What's his name again?
It's either Paul Cooper or Coop, but he goes by Coco Coop. I'll have to get his he's got a website where he puts all his pictures up. If you go to like the Florida Sportsman website.
Somebody calling?
Oh.
That's not me.
Yes, hello. This is Kayak Fishing Radio.
Yeah. Hello.
Anyway.
Hello.
Who's calling? It's not me.
That's weird.
Hold on.
If you go to the Florida Sportsman website.
Hang on a second. Let me figure out where this is at here. We got, where's that coming from? It's not Skype. Anybody else?
Not from me.
Not from you. That's a trip, man.
If it's me, hang on.
Oh, it's you?
Fired.
Everybody's just dumping off here. Hello?
I'm still here.
Yeah, I lost Bill and I lost Rob, so you're still here.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway. So if you go to the Florida Sportsman website, floridasportsman.com, and go to the forum section, scroll all the way down to the photography section, and just click in there, you'll see the guy posts a lot of pictures up, and he goes by Coco Coop, I think is what he goes by.
Okay.
And he's got some unbelievable photos of the last shuttle mission to just go up and it coming back down to land. And then he's also got some awesome pictures of, like, the Thunderbirds, I think is what are those the white jets that go to a lot of air shows, the Thunderbirds?
I don't know.
But anyway, he's got pictures of those flying past the VAV or whatever that building is out there on the Space Center. And he's got just a lot of really cool shots. He's, actually, you know what? Probably his coolest grouping of photos that he did, a bunch of pictures of a juvenile bald eagle and an adult bald eagle beating up an osprey for its fish in the air.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So.
Yeah, okay. And Greg's back on the line. I think I got Bill and Rob back in there, right? You guys there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Did Grandma want to talk?
No.
Grandma didn't want to be on the show?
No, she called
could've
me
just
like
conference her in.
She called me like three times, so I just figured I better talk to her.
All right. Yeah, Bill's getting ready to take off there. Are you gonna go fishing this weekend, Bill?
Yep. Saturday I got a tournament. Sunday, probably take the daughter and see if I can't get my wife to go out with me.
Cool. Cool. Nice pictures, by the way, of her. That was your daughter, right, the other day that you posted up there, catching a little red there.
She had a blast.
Good, good. That's awesome, man. We have to enforce the take a kid fishing all the time. That's the only way that the sport's going to keep going on. So.
That's it.
All right, man. Well, we look forward to hearing from you next week.
All right, buddy. Y'all take care.
Right. Tight lines, man.
Later, Bill.
So Jeff Madre said he hasn't been fishing. He's been hibernating, working overtime. I was looking to see Rob Choi. He's going togging. Okay, let's see. Going togging this weekend, all right. Rob's another one that takes some pretty good pictures, too, there. So, but now, we're running a little overtime here, but Rob, you've got Kayak Kevin on the show tonight?
Yes, he's going to call in and talk about his new movie and his new truck and whatever else.
Cool.
You know, he's never short for words.
Yeah, sometimes you have to tell him to slow down a little bit because all the words start running together.
He's excited about kayak fishing, man, that's for sure.
Yeah, between him and Spike, man, if you got both of them on, you'd just get like, you get like
you
these 10-minute words. It's like a 10-minute word, you know, just wah. But that's cool, man. They're both great dudes, and Kev is totally stoked about kayak fishing. So
that's for sure, man.
All right. And Rob Choi got a new kayak? What kind? Let's see, before we go out of here. Chuck, how about you, man? You getting in the water? Are you going to go kill some more cobia?
Not this weekend. I got to work, but next week I'm going to probably head offshore and look for some dolphin. I know some dolphin have been showing up, and then come back in on the beach and kill a bunch more cobia. So, yeah.
Right. Oh, did you ever find out if you could get one of those little cover plates for the reel?
Oh, I'm worthless, dude. Completely forgot. Send me a message again of what you need, and I'll call you tomorrow.
You know what I'm talking about, right? When you swap the handle from left side to right side, there's like
a little cap.
Yeah, that little cap thing there.
Yeah, I probably have one at the shop. Just send me a message on Facebook or something. Let me know what it is again.
Yeah, and then check out and see what you get me a set of those K guides for.
Okay.
You know, I'm thinking about going like a 30, 16. 10, 8, and then about 4 sixes.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Check out the rod that I'm going to bring with me.
What was the name of it again?
It's a Therese.
Therese?
T-E-R-E-Z by Shimano. Uh-huh. But if you want, I mean, I don't know if you want to get those guides as soon as possible, but, I mean,
no.
If you want to kind of stall on it a little bit and check them out before you buy them, it's kind of a pricey investment to make to not know whether or not you're going to like it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Just shoot me an email or shoot me a message on Facebook and let me know.
Okay. On the real piece.
Yeah. And also too, send me your personal phone number because I don't have it.
Okay. Yeah, I will. All right, cool. Well, we're going a little over time here, so I want to get out of here. I had a long day, and when I don't have my beauty sleep, it really starts to show. But that's why I do radio, man. So because I've got a face for it. So Rob's got okay. So he did a little rig in there. I got to make sure I open that one. All right. I get all these links and stuff, man. I try to remember them. But anyway, so if you're out there, Rob Choi, Jeff Madre, whatever, you guys, Kayak Kevin's going to be on the Late Show with Rob. Probably Chuck will show up there too. And
I'll be there.
All right, and Fishapalooza, April, the weekend, the first weekend in April, down at Mosquito Lagoon. We're headed that way. And if you're listening to the podcast, make sure you check us out at yakangler.com. It's a great place to get started, and we'll see you around. So thanks for joining us, guys, folks in the chat room. See you in, about an hour or so? About 2 hours there for the late show. Very cool. All right. Thanks, Chuck. Thanks, Rob. We'll see you guys next week.
See you.
All right. Good night. That guy's still hanging on, man. I don't know what he's doing. Yeah. All right, we'll take it out with a little bit of Irish jig here. All right, good night.